Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, Jermaine Johnson? Tune in to Turn on the Jets podcast.
Hey, this is Vinny Pasquantino of the Kansas City Royals. Make sure you tune into the Turn on the Jets podcast.
Everybody, welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Back with a Tuesday episode. This will be a weekly thing going forward. We finally made it work after about a month of me on my honeymoon, Brad traveling, and so on and so forth. Brad Spielberg of Pro Football Focus here on Cutdown Day. Brad, how are we doing today?
Doing great. And last Tuesday, a week ago, I was at Jets camp. So much to discuss. We're all back in the country, you know, married, all those good things.
Yeah, exactly. We're ready to go. Obviously, you know, you're a busy guy, cut down day. You're getting your inboxes flooded with how does this affect this team's cap space and what's going on here and so on and so forth. We'll get to that in a moment, just because this is kind of an ever-changing, you know, something could happen in the next 5 minutes and so on and so forth. Again, not a lot of big stuff here, but other than the Jonathan Taylor stuff, which we both, I don't think he's going to get moved, but again, could happen. Let's talk just quickly about Jets-Giants from Saturday night. Rodgers makes his debut. I talked about it yesterday. I'm not sure it could have gone better. He kind of got to get, as much as it sounds crazy, like got pressured once, was able to kind of see some success, draw some penalties, get the ball out quick, warm up in MetLife as a, you know, as a Jet in full uniform, the whole thing. Did you feel the same way? Like, I didn't see the downside of playing him, and I feel, I guess, vindicated that he didn't get hurt.
Yeah, no, I do. And I think you saw in the practice I went to that week on Tuesday also, you know, they're working on him navigating pressure, obviously, you know, until the offensive line is fully up to speed. Dwayne Brown got activated that day. He knows he's going to be dealing with it, right? He's going to have to face some good defenses out of the gate. They're going to bring, you know, maybe some blitzes or just do different things to throw him off of his, you know, his timing. And I think you're seeing a guy, yes, he's older, but still very spry, very nimble. You know, he's arguing whether or not he got sacked on a couple dropbacks in practice, just like we saw on Hard Knocks. But yeah, I think it was good to see. I think we can underestimate sometimes just full speed with a new group, with a new unit. I know Nathaniel Hackett is familiar and some of the players are familiar, but I think it was smart in hindsight now that he stayed healthy to get him some reps.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. I think getting that first touchdown out of the way, I know it sounds crazy, but just like seeing the ball go in the hoop, I think I used that expression about 12 times on different podcasts yesterday. Defensively, other big takeaway, I guess, is this defensive line. We've seen it all summer, but we haven't seen the ones play at all summer, unless you're in camp, and they looked awesome. I guess not surprised at all, but what's like your ceiling, I guess, for this defense? Just like having seen them a little bit now in practice, seen them in games, like facing the Giants backups, but it was an absolute massacre for those two drives.
The ceiling is the best defense in the NFL. Like it's not, I don't think it's hyperbolic to go that high. The practice I was at, I mean, Jermaine Johnson and Bryce Huff were winning almost at will. And I think you can tell they're super duper high on Jermaine. I think he's taking that step. He's a name that, and yeah, I know we're talking about a first round pick and all those things, but his name came up a bunch. We talked to people around practice, just a guy they think is going to be maybe even a bigger factor than we realize. But also, I mean, Quincy Williams flashed, made a couple nice plays.
We talked a bunch about all the guys in the defensive line. And Jermaine Johnson, though, is a guy that I think, you know, we talk about Bryce Huff a bunch. Yes, more of a specific role. Like, I think it's a scenario now where they're not even super concerned about a Carl Lawson missing a little bit of time because they think Jermaine Johnson, opposite of John Franklin Myers, is still one of the better duos across the NFL, you know, right now, obviously with the interior in place as well. So, yeah, he's a guy I'm excited to watch. He did flash. He was, you know, getting the sack in practice. You basically just yell the word sack when you're close to the quarterback. But he did it about a dozen times over 20 snaps. Like, it was consistent. He's bigger. You know, again, I like Will McDonald a lot. I think you do too. But them standing next to each other was like a father-son moment. Like, he's big. He's fast. He's springy. I think he's going to have a very big season.
Yeah, I'm on the same page as you. One other thing with the Bryce stuff, we've talked a lot about it. I still, like, I know a lot of people are like, oh, they'll just like have him play out the season. I know there's some stuff. Oh, let's see what his market is in the offseason. I still get this weird suspicion on more than a hunch that a sneaky in-season extension very much is in play. I think Bryce has proven what he is now. And I think that the Jets core, if they next year go into Will McDonald, Bryce Huff, and, you know, JFM and Jermaine Johnson, all of those guys pretty much, none of them are going to be making crazy money. Like, that's, and with Carl Lawson walks, like, you're still in a great spot. So is it crazy to think that he gets extended this year, or is it more of a play out the year? And, you know, I saw the conditional pick report come out, you know, by, I think, by Jeremy Fowler earlier today. That kind of just feels like annoying business, I guess, if you're a Jets fan, to be like, why are we letting a great player on our team walk for a conditional pick? But I still just have a feeling he ends up long-term here.
I think it's actually very smart business. I mean, John Franklin Myers' contract, obviously one of the better values across the NFL, and maybe that gets redone, I mean, maybe after the season or after another year. But yeah, I mean, sign Huff now before he becomes a guy that plays more than 300 plus, you know, whatever snaps in a season, maybe as he rounds out his game as well and can contribute on all three downs. But like you said, the key is you then have two first round picks who are nowhere near extension time. Not only would they be cheap, but by the time Jermaine and or Will McDonald are due, those guys are also probably on the back half of their careers. I think that is a no-brainer for the Jets. It's smart, especially if you keep them now. Why not get it done?
Yeah, no, I'm on the same page as you. I wanted to quickly touch on the Corey Davis thing. It's very – I don't want to say weird. That's not the right term. But if you watch Salah's comments, you listen to kind of the Jets receiver coach talking through it, sounds like there's a lot going on there. I guess from a football perspective and Jets team building, roster building situation, they've got a lot of cap space for a team that's in a win now mode. Like, I feel like that's not common. Am I crazy to think, like, it's a little crazy for them to have a veteran quarterback on still making, I mean, Rodgers still makes good money, like, regardless of what, you know, he still makes a lot of money. To have $19-20 million in cap space and a majority of your picks, especially day, you know, some day two and day three picks, they're in a good spot if they want to add someone, no, whether it's, you know, waiver wire guy that's a veteran that gets cut today in the next couple hours, or, you know, down the road on the trade deadline.
They will. I think they're going to look into it. I do think at the outset, you're probably going to see, you know, Brownlee make the roster. I think you could even see them in the beginning of the season carrying 6-7 guys. I know Gibson is a name they've liked as well. He did have one super really nice catch down the right sideline. I remember at practice, not to keep referencing this one practice I went to. But anyway, that's my frame of reference. So maybe keep 6, maybe even 7. But then you do start looking at, like you mentioned, A, the cut down names. And then B, as the season goes on early on, do you then consider maybe making a trade? I just think there's a lot of potential for players on teams that could have slow starts and guys that are going into contract years, things like that, where they then come available or they've already been available. You know, I look to Denver. If the Broncos got to a slow start, are they then going to reopen, you know, Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton conversations? I look to Chicago. I know I put it out yesterday and everyone freaked out. I don't think Darnell Mooney's actually getting traded before the season, but I also can tell you I don't think he's getting extended, which means are the Bears just going to let him, you know, same thing as Bryce Huff, just let him play out the year? So long answer short, I'd be surprised if they don't make a move, you know, especially if the season gets off to a good start.
Yeah, no, I'm on the same page. I still think they're fine with that room. I mean, you can add to it, obviously, but still it's like a room that should be pretty decent. It's not like Garrett Wilson and Lazard are like a terrible combo. You know what I mean? And like McCole Hardman was the second best receiver on the Chiefs for majority of last year before he got hurt. And, you know, Travis Kelce obviously being one. I want to ask you quickly on, you know, your expectation. We talked so much about, I guess from an offseason, you know, whole, obviously wrapping up, you know, today's kind of really the proverbial end of the offseason, right? Like, you know, guys get cut. Now these rosters kind of start to get finalized. Waiver wire, we'll see on Thursday, I believe. What would you, excluding the Rodgers stuff, obviously you go in, we talked months ago about the Jets cap situation, what they're going to do in the draft, all these different things. Now that we're kind of here, August 29th, do you kind of feel like they did a good job of like how of opening this window of like key, how long, like cap wise, what the moves they made, like what's your kind of full assessment, I guess, of now you've seen them practice, we've seen kind of the pretty much full picture of what we're going to get. Obviously we mentioned there could be other moves, but kind of where are you at with the full off season now, I guess, coming to a close here?
I think they did about as good a job as they could have with, look, they're being super aggressive. That's not a shock to anyone. That's not, a secret, but at the same time, still being conservative in, and I think you and I have talked about this, but Joe Douglas, where even back in the day when there wasn't a lot of talent and they had a ton of money, making players take pay cuts and maneuvering the roster, like the Rodgers thing, is also a product of Carl Lawson doing it before, or maybe Carl Lawson had an idea that Rodgers was going to do it and was more open to it. They share an agency. I don't know that, but all these little things matter to where saving a couple chunks of millions of dollars here and there goes back to our trade deadline conversation, goes back to, all these different little intricacies to where if you're going to quote unquote go all in, you can't mess around and leave any stone unturned, right? You have to say, oh, we missed out on $3-4 million. Von Miller cost the Rams $700,000 or whatever it was when he won the Super Bowl, a ring with them. Like, you have to prepare for everything. I think they've done a very, very good job. I do. I like what they've done.
Couple quick things here before, and then again, this is going to be a weekly thing, guys, so we're going to kind of get into this stuff, weekly, and next week we'll kind of do more of a Bills preview and kind of a season preview overall, just some expectations early on. News broke about 30 minutes ago, Von Miller is going to not be activated. He'll miss the first four games. Kind of feels like an obvious question here, but how big of a loss is this for Buffalo week one? I feel like a lot of the fear from Jets fans was Dwayne Brown's first game back from a shoulder injury. Then again, it would have been Von Miller's first game back from an ACL. But this is a pretty big loss for a team. And they just traded, Boogie Basham as well today. It's like, it's Bill's edge room, D-line quite as good early on in the year. Like, how much does this affect this division, I guess, if, does that game look quite as difficult if Von Miller's not going to be playing?
It's gigantic. Look, I think Gregory Rousseau is now a very good player and in his own right is going to cause some problems. But, and Oliver, I still think is an above average to good interior defensive lineman. Doesn't, scare me necessarily. And then for me, Leonard Floyd, AJ Epenesa, like those are edge setters. They're good run defenders. They're good football players. They're not like, oh, they're going to dominate Dwayne Brown and Billy Turner and Mekhi Becton. Actually, I think it is officially Becton now, right? So it's like,
yes.
It's a massive deal. Like you look last year, just to put, data behind it, with Von Miller in the lineup, when the Bills did not blitz, they were top five in pressure rate in the NFL or PFF. When Von Miller went down without blitzing, they were outside the top 22. I think they were 23rd in pressure rate. So if they bring an extra guy, we know Aaron Rodgers is going to take advantage of that. And if they don't, they're probably not going to get home. It's a massive, massive deal. Not that I expect him to play, but now that we know it's, official.
Yeah, the other big news is Dalvin Cook's going to be practicing today for the first time as a New York Jet. It'll be interesting to see how quickly he gets up to speed. He's a guy that, again, coming off shoulder surgery last year, we'll see there. Any names, I guess, you kind of had, a viral tweet yesterday and you got some pushback, as we kind of mentioned beforehand. Any guys on the Jets you either expect to get cut or maybe a surprise guy that might make the roster? I feel like a couple draft picks might not make the initial roster. I feel like they end up keeping Surratt over Barnes if they had to choose one of the two. Just frankly been more impressed with what Chad Surratt's done when he's been on the field. But again, he's a guy that gets hurt all the time. So I guess what to do there. And then, you mentioned Zach Kuntz is a guy who it's a pretty loaded tight end room, whether, it be veterans / amount of money and higher draft picks. Are those two names that I guess those two Jets draft picks, anyone else that kind of stands out to you that may not make the roster as of 4 or 5 PM today?
I think those are the big ones. Right. And I think the point here is, like, it's not necessarily a bad thing. A, seventh round picks don't make the team all the time. I mean, we're gonna see fourth and fifth round picks not make the initial roster today as well. And look, Kuntz is a freak athlete. In practice, he did make some nice plays, but I mean, it's just not as physically built as the other tight ends. And also, I think looked a little bit at times kind of deer in headlights, didn't really know what he was supposed to be doing on a couple snaps, which again, that's why you'd use a seventh round pick on a 99th percentile athlete. You get him on a practice squad and you see what you have there. But I think fans sometimes forget, like the Jets, if they just kept, Conklin, Uzama and Ruckert, like there are plenty of NFL teams that just carry three tight ends. Like I think they're going to carry four, but but nevertheless. So he's the one. It's not a bad sign. It's not a negative thing. It's just, it's again, they don't care about developmental players right now. They care about winning a Super Bowl ring right now, first and foremost.
Yeah, no, I'm on the same page as you. I think he's a guy that you'd love to be able to keep around. I just, they kind of had to make the decision. It feels like, do they keep a four tight end? They're going to keep a fullback, it looks like. So they kind of, and you're going to keep four running backs. So, you know, Bam Knight again is another guy. Trey Dean's a guy that, you know, those guys look like they'll probably end up getting claimed. I doubt they make it back to the roster. The one last thing I was going to ask you, I'd honestly keep two quarterbacks and then just try to get Tim Boyle through waivers. I don't see him having this gigantic market. And then you can activate him on game days and maybe save a roster spot there. They also have a roster spot with Brandon Echols being suspended week one. Jimmy Moreland's now on IR. Those are guys that, you know, either would have made, I think, made the roster or bubble guys. What do you do at quarterback here? Because it, like, you know, I guess you have to keep three, but in reality, because of this emergency quarterback, it's not like they have this third string guy that's this big name in the NFL. Tim Boyle kind of is who he is.
No, it's actually an important question because I think I have seen some confusion on this where people are saying, oh, like, the guy doesn't count against the roster. No, he still counts against the 53. Right, right. He just doesn't count on game day. No, I know you knew that, but it's like, it's not like you just get a full-on roster exemption the entire year. Like, and people say, oh, does it really matter? Like, yes. Like, it helps to have a special teamer or a certain player in that 53rd slot. So I agree with you. I know he's been on a couple teams, been in Detroit, been other places. Is not a probably a high-end number three QB, as dumb as that sentence sounds. But I think you could probably get him through, get him on the practice squad, like you said, activate him on game days, all those things. I think you'll be fine there.
Yeah, no, I'm on the same page as you. Last quick one here. Are you, what's like your biggest kind of question mark, I guess, the rest of the day? Is it the Jonathan Taylor stuff? Because I know Miami's obviously got, you know, some type of offer out there, as it's been reported. There seems to be a second team. I've seen some Philly stuff. I don't know how much, you know, legitimacy where this stuff is, because you don't know who's a legitimate account at this point anymore, unfortunately. Where do you think Jonathan Taylor gets end up getting traded? Is he another running back in the AFC East after Dolphins fans said they don't need Dalvin Cook? They somehow are now trying to trade for a running back that's going to cost them even more money in draft picks. So where do you think James Taylor kind of either ends up, or does he even get moved?
Yeah, look, I could be wrong on this. I'm sticking my neck out against all of the top, you know, reporters in the game. I just don't buy it. I really don't. I don't see that a team is going to get, for starters, I know Miami's involved. I have personally confirmed they've had conversations, but I don't know if they've even made an official offer, A. And then B, this whole mystery team, maybe it exists. It's hard for me to find out who it would be, who would be willing to give up the assets to do it, who has not already made a move. Like, you know, Patriots and Jets obviously maybe could have been in the conversation. They no longer are. I really struggle to see it happening. This would be a funny soundbite if he gets traded an hour later, but I think he's going to be on the Colts, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah, if the Colts trade him, certainly not doing Anthony Richardson any favors. No. You know what I mean? So that would have been pretty crazy if the Jets had gotten involved with a Jonathan Taylor, Breece Hall backfield at both guys under 25 would have been pretty disgusting. You got to see him in practice. I guess we'll finish with this. I feel like he's looked, I don't want to say he looks 100% yet, because I still think that we haven't seen him get hit yet. So like hit for real, but I don't know. And in the practices I've seen of him, he's in person, he's looked fantastic and doesn't look hesitant at all cutting. Looked like the same guy. His top end speed is still ridiculous. Are your expectations a little different for him week one? Or are you kind of still in the boat of, like, I think we've talked about before, he's going to be on this slow trajectory up, you know, in terms of carries?
I feel the same way. In the practice I went to, obviously Dalvin was not there yet, and he was different, right? Like a burst and an explosion off your first cut that was just simply, and I like Bam Knight, I like Michael Carter, but just you could tell, like, hey, this is why, you know, Breece Hall was a top 50 draft pick. But the one thing I did find interesting, he would come back after some snaps and kind of be like shaking his legs out a little bit, or like doing like slow motion cuts, kind of like, and you could tell it was more mental than physical. Like there was no letdown from his knees, but I still do think we see him have like 10 to 15 touches early on. It's kind of why you signed Dalvin, frankly, in my mind. And then if he continues to get better and better, then you do say, hey, Dalvin, like you're going to be, you know, spelling him for series here and there, or helping us bleed out games in second half if we have a lead. Yeah, so looked good. I agree with you. He had a nice acrobatic catch as well. But I think they're just going to play it slow because I think in their minds, like, just get to the playoffs and then go kind of, you know, balls to the wall from there on out.
Yeah. Other last thing here as we wrap, Carl Lawson is practicing today. So is Alan Lazard, Dalvin Cook, and Breece Hall. I'm not sure. And Dwayne Brown is practicing. So for the Jets, pretty much as good injury news as you can ask for. Really, it seems like Izzy Abakanya is really one of the only guys still banged up. Rucker came back. Surratt came back. Missing somebody else. Tomlinson's back. ABT's back. There's a lot of guys there. Again, this is going to be a weekly segment. I'll have another pod out today if, you know, something big happens. I highly doubt that it's going to happen. Kind of the guys that have been cut already are pretty par for the course and vice versa. The Jets are not trading for Mike Evans today. You can clip this, you know, if I sound like an idiot, I'd gladly be wrong on that. Devontae and Hunter Renfrow as well. Those names, Godwin, all these different guys, I think it's more of a conversation week 6, week 7 than it is right now. Also, the Jets don't have their first and second round draft pick to trade because the Packers hold the leverage for both of them. We'll go from there. Again, make sure you guys are tuned in. I'll be back later tomorrow, actually, with Fireman. That'll be on the pod. And then we'll kind of go from there. And everyone enjoy the rest of your day. Make sure you guys catch Brad's work on PFF. And everyone enjoy the rest of your day.